We have had such incredibly beautiful music today. What a gift. You know, Andy, my momism, which my brother and I heard a lot, don't make me come back there. It was my brother. I was fine, but she had to say that to both of us. I heard about a young man who really had this deep, deep desire to get wisdom. He wanted to know the secret of wisdom. His friend said, well, you need to go talk to this sage. He is the one who can answer your questions. So he set off to find this wise man. There were many challenges in the search, but finally he came to this high mountain, climbed up, and there he found the master. Tell me, O master, he said, what is the secret of wisdom? Master replied, good judgment. Well, wise one, how do I get good judgment? Ah, said the master, experience. Okay, said the young man, how do I get experience? The fellow looked at him and he said, bad judgment. You know, I think that sage knows a whole lot about us, that we often learn the most important lessons of life through our mistakes. Boy, I've learned some that way. Now, we can't avoid all our mistakes. We know that. But it's important to know that we don't have to spend years searching or climbing a mountain to get wisdom. Actually, God has already given it to us. It's in the Bible. I mean, there's incredible wisdom here in Scripture. But like any good gift, it's really not going to do us any good if we're not going to open it up, read it, absorb it. Spend time with it. We have to take it in. See, wisdom ignored is useless. Scripture reminds us that living that way, ignoring wisdom, is foolish. Which is why the Bible has so much rich and helpful wisdom, an incredible gift. So today, we're beginning an 8-week series to look at the book of Proverbs. We call it Wise Words for Wise Living. The book of Proverbs invites us to live with wisdom, to respect the Lord so that we might experience what God wants us to know, the goodness of life. The book of Proverbs, as you probably know, includes hundreds of short, insightful verses, but they're all designed to help us, to teach us how to live and how to act wisely. The Proverbs are linked to King Solomon and other wise sages in Israel. But each saying touches on a common area of life. I mean, you can look through it and you can say, well, that's about relationships. This is about business dealings. This is about raising children. Things that we identify with. They show us the reality of the world we live in, but also what it looks like to live well with God and with others. Wisdom in Proverbs is a personality, often described as a woman. But it's not an impersonal force. It's actually an attribute of God Himself. And so by respecting God, reading, obeying the wise, practical counsel that we find in this book, we start developing these important skills. We start developing a moral mindset, which helps us live successful, good, and God-centered lives. So today we're going to begin in Proverbs 4. We're reminded that we are to live wisely. I want to play for you the video of two verses in Scripture. And Sean, if you'll cue that up, the young men who shared that with us are here today. And guys, thank you for doing that. You have been a blessing to us. Listen to what they're sharing with you, because here's some wisdom.
Proverbs chapter 4, verse 7 and 8. Gain wisdom is the most important thing you can do. Whatever else you get insight.
Love wisdom, and she will make you great. Embrace her, and she will bring you honor.
Now, Nathan and Owen are sharing with us wisdom from the book of Proverbs. So let me put that in context with you, because this really is important for starting this series. And to help you understand, I want you to imagine that there's a dad, a father, who has said to his kids, can you come in here? I need to tell you something really important. Just have a seat. I'm going to sit down with you. And the kids are wondering what dad's going to say. But I can see them sitting in this room together. And he says to them, my children, Listen to what your father teaches you. Pay attention, and you will have understanding. Because what I'm teaching you is good. I want you to remember all of it. You see, when I was a little boy, my parents' only son, my father would teach me. He would say, remember what I say and never forget it. Do as I tell you and you will live. Get wisdom. Get insight. Don't forget or ignore what I say. Do not abandon wisdom and she will protect you. Love her and she will keep you safe. Getting wisdom is the most important thing you can do. And whatever else you get insight. Love wisdom, and she will make you great. Embrace her, and she will bring you honor. She will be your crowning glory. So children, listen to me. Take seriously what I am telling you, and you will live a long life. I mean, this dad must really love his children. We learn just in these verses that he wants his children to have understanding, a good life, a full life. He wants his children to be protected and to be safe. He wants them to be great and honorable to live. He really loves his children. And what I love about this is God talking to us. The book of Proverbs, we might say, is another way of God saying to us that he loves us so much that he has given us another wonderful gift, wisdom. But still, it's up to each of us to decide if we're going to pay attention, if we're going to allow the benefits of wisdom to sink into our lives. See, wisdom is an incredibly valuable gift. But it's up to you, to me, to each of us to recognize, to take advantage of that wisdom. Let me illustrate. Because sometimes what's right there, we don't even see the value of it. In 2004, in a segment of the Antique Roadshow. Now, I don't know about you, but I love the Antique Roadshow. I don't know. Anybody like the Antique Roadshow? Okay, I got a few nerdy people who like it too. All right. But I just love history. I love seeing. And I keep thinking I've got one of those, you know, multi-million-dollar things in my closet. And I'm going to discover it. But it's not there. But in 2004, a painting by Anna Mary Robertson, you know her as Grandma Moses, was brought into the Antique Roadshow. Now, this fellow who brought this painting brought it for appraisal. And during the segment where they talk about Grandma Moses, they said, you know, she was born before the Civil War, but she really didn't take up painting until very late in her life. You can see her here. I mean, don't ever think you're too old to do that, because this is when she began. She had this primitive style, and eventually it became very popular. And her work began to command a high price. But the gentleman who brought in the painting said, you know, my family lived near her. And my mom used to go over and visit Grandma Moses. And she was painting. She didn't think her paintings were worth much, but mom wanted to help her out. And she loved her, so occasionally she would buy one. She bought about 8 or 10. $8, $9, $10 a piece. And the appraiser said, well, the one you have here today that your mom paid $10 for, it's worth $60,000. It was right there the whole time. And it was undervalued. It was overlooked. Now, paintings are one thing. But what about the wisdom to live life the right way? To live life as God intends for us to live. What if we think it's not worth much? What if we undervalue it? What if we ignore it, put it in the closet? What good does it do? I can see that dad with his kid saying, guys, pay attention. I mean, of all the things I'm going to give you, this is so, so important. I've learned something about life that too often we abandon, give up what is really priceless for some temporary pleasure or advantage. Or sometimes we abandon that which matters most for what matters least. You can tell what's important to a person. And it's not in what they say, but it's in what they do. I mean, I could say anything, but it's the proof in the pudding. Do you see it in my life? And wisdom calls us to connect the two. Wisdom in the book of Proverbs says, don't just talk about it, but go do it. For the things that we pursue and give our lives to are the things that we actually value the most. So Proverbs tells us that fools do not seek wisdom because they don't place any value on it. More prone to live a self-seeking life than they are to be wise. Wise people, however, will seek wisdom even at great expense because, well, they understand how important wisdom is for living well. And when we value what God values, let me say that again. When we value what God values, we are on the path to wisdom. Fred Murphy is a proverbial sort of guy. He has lots of little proverbs. And I've heard people share these over the last few days, but I really have come to appreciate some of Fred's proverbs. But one that he shared with me early on, I thought, I'm going to remember this one. And Fred, I've gone back to it again and again and again. It's very simple. When you have to make a decision, you ask these questions. Is it moral? Is it ethical? Is it legal? That pretty well covers it, doesn't it? And if I'm asking those questions and I decide to go another way, I am foolish. In fact, I need to warn you that the book of Proverbs, if you're going to read it like we suggest, it's a no-holds-barred, in-your-face, honest view of wisdom. And then it tells you that the lack of wisdom is foolishness. For instance, we read in Proverbs 17:16, it does a fool no good to spend money on an education if he has no common sense. You can know all kinds of things, but if you don't have, as June Edwards used to say, good walking around sense, it doesn't do any good. In other words, the wisdom of a God-led life is far more valuable than knowing things. It is, in the words of Proverbs, life-giving. You know, the book of Proverbs teaches us how to live wisely by giving us nuggets of truth. I watch these shows where these guys go to Alaska and they're digging out in the dirt trying to find gold. And often it's tiny little flakes. And you're thinking, it's going to take you a century to make any money off of that. But every now and then a nugget will show up and they're all excited and it's worth so much more. Well, we don't have to dig. It's right there. Those nuggets are there in Scripture. And the thing I love about those nuggets of truth is that added up, they make a huge difference. They begin to multiply. Let me show you what I mean. About 15 years ago in Richmond, Canada, a search was completed for a new chief of police. Now, when he started his job, he learned something that was pretty disturbing, that the recidivism rate in Richmond, Canada was 60%. What that means is 6 out of 10 persons, upon conviction, serving their term and getting out of jail, would go and commit another crime. It was just this revolving door over and over again. It was getting worse. And there was an alarming number of young people being drawn into crime. Richmond really needed help. Now, there were plenty of opinions. There were people in the town who said, we need stricter laws. We need longer prison sentences. We need to build more jails. Of course, that's expensive. It may be the strong answer. But the police chief, who had wisdom, said, here's what I'd like to do. I'd like to put an emphasis on eliminating crime before it happens, especially with young people. And so this wise man implemented a program called the Positive Ticketing Program. Now, this picture you're seeing is one of the police officers in Richmond holding one of those positive tickets and something very special next to it. Here's the way it works. He told his officers, if you see somebody doing something right, maybe riding their bikes with their helmet on, get to school on time, helping someone else, give them a positive ticket. These tickets entitled someone to something special, maybe free entrance to the movie, or a free game of bowling, a slice of pizza. Do you know, over the years, those officers gave out thousands and thousands of positive tickets. Do you know what happened? In 10 years, the recidivism rate in Richmond, Canada went from 60% to 8%. Do you think anybody complained? Of course not. Why did that happen? Because all those tickets added up to a big win. One at a time, they changed that culture, that community. That's exactly what's going on in the book of Proverbs. All these nuggets of truth, when we take time to look through them and read them and absorb them and try to understand them, they start adding up and it makes for a big win. So doesn't it make sense? Wouldn't we be wise to start learning those wonderful nuggets of truth in the book of Proverbs? Because I know that it will enrich our life in an incredible, wonderful way. Proverbs tells us to learn and remember what is being said, and we will live. So we're going to take 8 weeks. We're going to sample the book of Proverbs because there is so much more to be learned. We don't have time to cover it all in church, but you do. Don't just tuck that Bible away after church is over. Keep going back to it, reading through the book of Proverbs. Your pastors know that there is a wealth of good and wise teaching here, and it's our hope that you will take time to read through, to absorb the Proverbs again and again. Because as I've already told you, these small truths will add up and form into this life that's wise and honorable. Jesus did that. I mean, every time you turn around, he's doing something like that. And he began his ministry teaching and healing, going from place to place. He would often stop and give us a proverb. You've heard it said, if someone strikes you on one cheek, turn to them the other. Negative truth. Or this one that's carved on my heart and has influenced my life so strongly. Love one another as I have loved you. He spent 3 years sharing that wisdom. And it added up and it changed the world. It still is. So I want to tell you that no matter what you're facing today, no matter what you're struggling with, God has an answer and will give you hope. Some of those answers are found in the book of Proverbs. And what I love about those answers is they help us live wisely. So pay attention. Because what God offers you is life. Life to the fullest. That place where you find peace, joy, hope, love, salvation. We have a Father who said, come sit down with me. I want to tell you something really important. Get wisdom. Let's pray. Thank you, Lord, for taking the time to sit down with us. Every time we pick up the Bible, it's right there. But I pray that we're wise enough not just to read it, to gloss through it, but let it sink deep so that we will be wise in all that we say and do. And we will be formed by your love. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. My mom gave me a lot of nuggets of truth, those little proverbs. When I would go out, as I got old enough to go out with friends or date, she never failed to say, just as I was going out the door, remember who you are. I still think about that. And she would say, no matter what you do, no matter where you are, no matter what you're going through, remember I love you. That's the way God sees us. And no matter what happens, we are loved. I pray that you will just soak up the richness of this incredible love from the Creator of the universe, the hope of the world, that very same Jesus Christ who is our Lord and Savior. Brothers and sisters, go now in peace and go in love. Amen.